You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
We are now several days into the new year. Psychologists tell us that the period following the New Year's celebrations and all of the New Year's resolutions is for many people very depressing. Statistics indicate that just before Christmas, the mood is upbeat and people are happy. Just before Christmas, the amount of psychiatric hospitalization decreases. Even the number of letters sent to newspaper advice columns such as Ann Landers during December is lower than in other months. Just before Christmas, most people begin to feel festive and happy. But then the lavish Christmas feasts and the late-night New Year's celebrations are over. A mood of depression and despair often settles in. The suicide rate begins to skyrocket. With New Year's now only a few days behind us, we are at that stage. The celebrations are over, the bills have to be paid, and there are frequently more bills than money to pay them. Trouble is brewing, the devil is working. Marriage counselors state that family financial problems represent the number one cause of family arguments, domestic violence, and sinful divorce. Let's not forget the teenagers now either, shall we? Even they do not escape the blues and the depression of the new year. For them, decisions have to be made. Many would like to go on to college in a few months, but it is so expensive. For others, the ghosts of their past, D's and F's from some of their high school classes, haunt them as they wonder whether any college or trade school will take them for all the money in the whole world. Graduation is coming, decisions have to be made, frustrations often follow, and the demons of despair attack without mercy. It is no wonder that many young people today are saying, life is so impossible. It is no wonder that the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, a highly respected newspaper, in its headline announced the alarming rate of suicide among young people. Sociologists now consider youth suicide a national epidemic. And that's not all. The foggy future of 1986 is limited neither to families nor teenagers. Consider, for example, the farmers. We may look also at other groups, but at this time of the year, farmers are facing especially critical decisions. It will soon be spring. Important decisions will have to be made for them also. And for many farmers, the plight is dismal at best. Costs of production are often greater than the price received for the products. This has now continued for several years, and the uncertainty is enough to discourage even the most faithful farmer. Yet spring is here, and decisions must be made. Now let me ask you, does it make sense to borrow money for seed and fuel, and then because of high inflation and poor prices go even further into debt? It is no wonder that some hardy tillers of the soil feel more like gamblers in Las Vegas than like honest keepers of the nation's breadbasket. The dilemma in agriculture has forced more than just one honest man to give up and to take his own life. Examples of discouragement abound also in other sectors of society and among other workers. Sometimes the days of discouragement make life itself seem nearly impossible. But this is precisely why we possess the sacred scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God. This is why the central message of the Bible is always the central part of the message of this broadcast. In the midst of frustration and despair, we on this broadcast intend, with God's help, to proclaim a reliable message of help and hope. In the Bible, we learn how God in history has always come to the rescue of His children, and since God never changes, you can be absolutely sure that God will rescue you also. Let your heart be lifted as you hear God saying to you in the midst of your problems, is anything too difficult for the Lord? Let us also ask the question, who formed the tips of the highest mountains? The Lord did, of course. Shall not then the Lord also remember you, even as you pass through the deepest valleys of discouragement during the coming months? He who began your heartbeat within the body of your loving mother, shall he also not then take care of all the needs of your life? A cash flow shortage can cripple a business. It can bust a farmer. It can wreck a home. A pack of cancer cells in a short time can kill even the healthiest athlete. But even though the pressures of life may press in upon you from every side, even though your future 1986 may seem to be bound up in certain defeat, rejoice instead in the words spoken to Abraham and Sarah. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Abraham, you see, was 99 years old, and God said, Abraham, you and your wife will have a son. The Bible states that Abraham fell on his face and he laughed. How impossible! He said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah, he said, who is 90 years old, bear a child? How ridiculous all of this seemed. What a laugh. Now for Abraham, the answer was a simple no. Sarah's body could no longer bear a child. With God, however, all things change, don't they? This is what the Bible teaches. All things are possible, both for Abraham and Sarah, and also for you and me. God is offering you and me the Easter resurrection power of Jesus Christ in order that we may cope with any and all problems during the coming year. Even today, the news of a child born to a 90-year-old woman would cause glaring headlines, consternation in pediatric wards, vigorous gossip on morning television talk shows, and endless speculation in the medical community. Just recently, I visited a woman in a rest home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. All her life, she has dedicated her time and her talents to the Lord. For many years, her husband served faithfully and at a great cost to himself and his family as a missionary in Central America, preaching the glorious gospel of hope of the crucified Jesus Christ. This lady is now 91 years old. She is waiting for the Lord to take her home to heaven. She is not waiting to have a child. She is waiting to die and to rest in the arms of Jesus. And so when we think of the Bible stories in a practical sense like that, we can perhaps better understand why Abraham fell on the ground and he laughed in his heart as he was told that his own wife, at the age of 90, would have a son. Skepticism and unbelief, these two words might describe the feelings of Abraham and Sarah when they learned they would have a son. However, if they could have realized, yes, if only they could have realized the full implication of their son's birth, they would have been more than just skeptical. They would have been shocked and even stunned. The birth of Isaac, their son, you see, would not be the culmination. It would not be the end. It would then be a glorious beginning. For from Isaac would come Jacob, and from Jacob would be born Judah. After a number of generations, Jesus Christ the Savior would then be born. So great is this glorious news that today I want to challenge you. As soon as this program is over, get a Bible. And if you don't own one, your local library or a friend or perhaps even a neighbor will have a copy. Turn, if you would please, to the first book of the New Testament called the Gospel of Matthew. Now, at the beginning of the first New Testament book is a genealogy or a family tree. And for many people, reading this is often boring and meaningless. It seems, of course, to be only one unpronounceable name after another. But at the end of this genealogy is verse 16, where we read, and to Jacob was born Joseph, who was the husband of Mary, by whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Oh, yes, indeed, it was a miracle that Abraham and Sarah should have a son at their age. But the greatest miracle is that through them and their descendants, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, would be born. For this reason, Abraham ought not to be the only one who is excited. You and I ought to be excited. Jesus is your Savior from sin. He is your helper. He is your daily strength. And Jesus Christ is the one who is going to help you cope with life in 1986. Now, Sarah's baby may not bring your home much excitement, but I pray that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, promised to Abraham, will change your entire life. If you are now in a retirement home or if you have terminal cancer, don't fear death any longer. Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place, and through his death, he crushed the power of death. Therefore, when you pass from this life trusting in your Savior, you will not be dead forever. You will only be sleeping. Your blessed Savior will awaken you and welcome you into paradise forevermore. Yes, when we meditate on the beautiful Bible story of Abraham and Sarah, we are picked up. Our burdens are lifted. Our tears are dried. And then we possess a hope of tomorrow, a hope that even the devil himself can never destroy. Your situation may seem impossible for you at this hour, but remember, nothing is too difficult for your Heavenly Father. If Abraham, at 100 years of age, could father a son, and if Sarah, through God's power, could conceive at the age of 90 and give birth to Isaac, then God can also fulfill your dreams of a harmonious family and a happy home. Strife and conflict may at this hour reign in your marriage and family, but God can change that. The cleansing blood of Jesus Christ removes hatred and envy from family members. The perfect pardon of the crucified Savior breaks down barriers between fathers and sons. It removes hatred between mothers and daughters. The death-defeating power of the Redeemer's Easter resurrection provides eternal hope to quarreling couples. Jesus Christ is the hope for putting your sins and failures aside and for burying the faults of your spouse. In 1986, this is a time for a new start for you, a fresh slate, a new beginning. Oh yes, I know that these positive words from my human and frail lips may seem like no more than hype and pious positive thinking, but always remember, your hope is not in me or in any other mortal. True and certain hope lies for certain in the Lord Jesus Christ. In this day, hearken unto the Lord and listen to His gracious words. Receive His grace, rest in His love. Your problem may loom large, but just as in the days of aging Abraham and Sarah, so it is with you. Nothing, no problem or frustration in your life is impossible for the Lord to handle. God made a promise, but Abraham only laughed. And yet, in spite of Abraham's unbelief, God was not deterred. He continued speaking to Abraham. In His love and grace, God explained the promise of a son. God did not punish or reject Abraham because of his initial unbelief. God continued to extend His love and grace to this great patriarch. This is a clear example of who God really is: a God of love, a God of forgiveness, and a God of grace, and a God of patience. We are often like Abraham. We hear God's promises to us of food and clothing and all the other necessities of life. But in unbelief, we laugh at the Lord's promise. We do this when we don't fully depend on Him. We seek security in high-paying jobs and all kinds of retirement benefits. When we are ill, we don't go first to the altar of prayer. Our first reaction is often to inquire, "Is there a pill or a vaccine to cure this?" Often only in our deepest desperation do we finally turn to the Lord. Oh, let us thank God this new year that God does not treat us as we all too often treat Him. God loves you in spite of your mistakes, and God will love you until you exhale your final breath. Now let's turn again to the story of Abraham. The Bible states, and I quote, "One day at the heat of the day, Abraham was sitting at the door of his tent." We can well imagine that in his sunset years, Abraham was perhaps enjoying a midday nap. When he opened his eyes, behold, suddenly three men stood in front of him. Abraham immediately honored these visitors, and he arranged a meal. Sarah baked fresh bread cakes. A fatted calf was killed, and the visitors were given a sumptuous feast. As the visitors ate, let's take note, Abraham remained standing, the Bible says, always ready to wait upon and to serve his guests. Oh, may Abraham's act of God-pleasing hospitality be an example for all of us this coming year. Now let me ask you, do you think that Abraham would stick out like a sore thumb in our generation? I think he would. Had Abraham grown up in our generation, he may well have turned his traveling guests away and told them, "Keep on going down the road." He would have thought of himself first. In our generation of meism and self-centered liberation movements, Abraham would have been busy serving himself and not others. A freelance writer from Chicago, the wife of an airline pilot, recently wrote, "Today, many men, women, and children are unashamed lovers of self. They believe, 'I am the center of the universe. I will answer only to me, and I serve myself.'" Oh Lord, during this new year, help all of us to recognize the sickness of self-centeredness now seducing our society. Give us the loving heart of Abraham, and let us always see the needs of others first. Remind us, O Lord, of our Savior's attitude when he said, "The Son of Man," and he was speaking now of himself, Jesus, "the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom." The Bible simply states it. Jesus Christ gave his life as a ransom to pay for your sins and mine. And for this reason, we can now look forward to 1986 with hope and with a new beginning. And now for just a moment, let's turn back to Abraham. His guests had finished eating. One of them turned to Abraham and asked the question, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" Abraham replied, "Behold, she is in the tent." Then one of the visitors announced to Abraham, "I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Now even Sarah, who was inside the tent, had heard the news, and she shared the astounding information. But like Abraham, Sarah also could not believe it. The Bible states that Sarah laughed to herself. She felt it was very silly for a woman of her age to give birth. The Lord was not pleased, however, when Sarah laughed, and the Bible states the Lord stated, "Is anything too difficult for the Lord?" And so by God's grace in 1986, let us laugh no more at God's promises. When God states in his word that your sins have been washed completely clean in the blood of his Son, don't laugh. You can count completely on this promise. And when God promises that he will see you through your illnesses and other physical afflictions, don't laugh. You can trust on his word. When God says he will welcome you into paradise, and not only you, but all who die trusting in his Son's salvation power, then don't laugh. You and I can plan on this, and we can plan on being there with him in glory. Let us then turn from our love of worldly pleasures and possessions and follow only Jesus Christ. Let us trust only in his saving power, in his cleansing blood. Let us begin planning to spend eternity in paradise with our gracious Heavenly Father. By faith, may I encourage you to do this today. God is inviting you to come to him. During 1986, don't carry around any longer your burdens of guilt and sin. The prophet Isaiah states that God has laid your sins and mistakes upon Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the Bible tells us, his blood washed your sins away. Don't laugh, this is true. By Jesus' bloody suffering, you and I are healed from our sins. It may sound incredible to us. We may want to snicker and laugh, but the Bible clearly teaches that when Jesus Christ suffered on that bloody cross, God the Father saw the suffering of his Son, and he was satisfied. Go then into 1986 with confidence and great joy. Your future is based on the Lord Jesus Christ, who never changes. Your sins are forgiven. Don't laugh at God's promises. You may indeed be facing great difficulty at this hour, but remember, nothing is impossible for your God. Amen.